You never quite know how a night's going to work out until it just gets started. Like, you make these great plans and you think all these things and you show up and then something entirely different happens. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it happens to me all the time. All the time. All the time. So, I want to ask you a question, and this is a rhetorical question. So for those of you that don't know what the word rhetorical means, let me educate you. Rhetorical means it's a question you don't answer. You just answer in your own head. So here's the question. Who are you? Who are you? Lord have mercy. Who are you? Last week I talked to you guys a bit about Jesus Christ, and I said the historical data is so overwhelming that nobody even questions whether or not Jesus really existed. Everybody knows he existed. That's not a debate among any scholars who are worthy of, you know, shoes that tie. Okay? So that's a knock on Velcro shoes, by the way, just in case you were wondering. So anybody who has a brain in their head can read the books and be convinced that Jesus is every bit as real as anyone else in the history of the world. We know that Jesus was real. We also know throughout Scripture and then other accounts outside of Scripture that Jesus emphatically, clearly, and repeatedly made a statement. And he said, "I am God." He said it over and over in a variety of ways on a variety of days. He said it so many times that the people he was around thought that he was a little crazy. Sometimes they called him crazy. Sometimes they called him nuts. Sometimes they got really mad at him because there were religious leaders of the day who said, "You can't be God." And so they got really irritated with him. And as was their tradition, on a couple of different occasions, they literally picked up rocks and began to go through the motions like they were going to throw rocks at his head until he quit breathing. That's how mad people got about Jesus when he said, "I am God." And he clearly identified himself, "I am God." He showed up and did a small miracle, and then he did another miracle, and then he did some teaching, and then he did another miracle, and he said, "I am God." Then he did another miracle, and then he did some more teaching, and then he did another miracle. You guys can get the pattern of behavior, right? And so one of the ways that he made it so clear, he said, "I am God," and then he would raise some people from the dead. Pretty convincing. Like, I wonder if this guy has any real power or if this is all just a big joke. Well, and then he raised some people from the dead. And people started paying attention, like, okay, that's not something I've seen before. Jesus really raised people from the dead. That's a little different. And then he said, ahead of time, he said, "They're going to destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." And nobody really understood what he was talking about at the time. But what he was saying is, "I'm going to die, and in 3 days, I'm going to come back to life." In the book of John, he says it this way: "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again." It wasn't like, as you may have heard, people killed God. No, that's not what it was. Jesus said very clearly, "I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it up again." So he said, "I am God." And then, just in case you were wondering if he was legit, he died, laid in the grave for 3 days, and then raised from the dead. Okay, that's a new one. I mean, even back in his ministry, he raised somebody else from the dead, and that was pretty cool, but it was someone raising someone else from the dead. In this case, nobody came near. He raised all by himself. So, you know, hop on over to great grandma's grave, start knocking on the tombstone like, "Grandma, come on out of there. I want to hang out. I need some cookies." No, it's probably not happening. Right? None of us in this room have the power to raise the dead. That power resides with God alone. And that's what Jesus said. "I am God." So I was talking about that last week, and I spent some time thinking about it this week. Jesus' identity is God. That's who Jesus is. His identity is God. And I started thinking about, what's my identity? Who am I? And we have these conversations with people all the time. We'll meet somebody new and we'll hang out. Hi, nice to meet you. Shake my hand, Jeff. Nice to meet you. My name is Chris, and this is who I am. And so we introduce ourselves to people, and we say, this is who I am, because I want to know who you are, and you want to know something about me. And usually these conversations, they last a few seconds, and we talk about things like name, maybe where we're from, how tall we are. If somebody meets me, almost immediately they say, dude, how tall are you? I'm feeling you, Kimber. So I get that a lot, and you may get something different. You may get some other question about who you are. I get the how tall I am. Maybe it's what family are you from? Do I know your parents? Do I know your siblings? This is the beginning of our identity. The beginning of our identity. But then to answer this question, and I'm going to ask it again because I want you to think about it. Who are you? Who are you? You're more than just a name. You're more than just your age and your gender and your hair color and your eye color, your height and weight. You're more than that. You're more than just your family. You're more than just your parents, your siblings. Maybe you've got a crazy uncle who like tarnished your family name way back when, and you don't even want to talk about that. Okay, everybody in the room, raise your hand if you have a weird family member. That's what I was thinking. Okay, so the question I'm going to keep going back to is this one. Ready? Who are you? Who are you? One of the ways that Jesus told everyone who he was he gathered together with his apostles, right? There were 12 of them, his friends, the people he hung out with all the time. And he said, who do people say that I am? And so there's some legitimacy to that, because you can ask others, what do people say about me? What do you say about me? And you can begin to build an understanding of other people's perception. But you're more than people's perception. Is it big, Susie? Is it super important? I'm sure that you do. Send me an email because I want to read it. You're more than just the legacy that your parents left behind. You're more than just the legacy. Pastor Gary, some of you don't know this, but we have a senior pastor. I am not he. Our senior pastor, his name is Pastor Gary Zeke, and he has lived in Mendocino County, which is the neighboring county to the west. Lord have mercy. His family has lived there for multiple generations, and he and his wife are part of the family that owns a significant sawmill over there, so they have a family business. His grandfather has a school named after him because his grandfather was a teacher and a principal and a superintendent. So when he went places, like to the grocery store, and other people would meet him and they would say, who are you? And he would say, I'm Gary Zeke. They would say, are you related to Frank Zeke? He'd say, yeah, that's my grandfather. Because people knew Frank Zeke. Frank has a school named after him. That's big time. Yes, this is Frank Zeke School. Where do you go to school? I go to Frank Zeke School. Oh. So everybody knew the Zeke name when he was growing up. But Pastor Gary is more than the legacy left by his grandfather. He's more than a family business. He's more than all of that. And so are you. I'm going to ask you the question again. Who are you? Who are you? So often we get our identity wrapped into things that aren't our identity. We get our identity wrapped up into money. Sometimes I've met people literally as a teacher For you that don't know, I spent 10 years as a high school math teacher, and I had a lot of students in and out of my classrooms, and so I would meet kids all the time. Every year, 100 new kids would come into my class, and I would meet them and hang out with them. And I had on multiple occasions, I would walk around, okay, tell me your name and something a little bit about you so I can get to know you a little bit. And on multiple occasions, I had kids say, I'm Charlie, and I'm poor. Okay, it's nice to meet you, Charlie. You know, and so people would identify with the money they have. It was part of their identity. If somebody would ask, who are you? They would say their name and that they're poor. Because that's the thing that sticks in their head, money. And so often we do this, and some of us have money, and we talk about it like we don't have money, but really everybody knows we do have money. And so our identity is wrapped up in the things that we own. Yeah, I was the first one to get the fifth generation, whatever, iPhone thing. Or, you know, I was the first one to have the docking thing in my Mercedes so I could slide my Mercedes, you know, and then I was rolling. You know, I was the first one to have the Air Jordan 27s. Whatever version they're on by now, whatever they are, there's, you know. I don't want to brag, but, and then they're going to brag. You guys all know people like this. I don't want to brag, but, by the way, this has nothing to do with the lesson, but when you say the word but in the middle of your sentence, it takes everything you said before that and erases it off the board. Like, you're my best friend and I love you so much, but I'm going to tear you to shreds now. How many of you had a friend do that to you? Mm-hmm. You're like, you're not my friend. Step back. So often we get wrapped up. Our identity is found in our money. And this happens whether we're poor or rich. It has something to do with our social status, where we fit in the hierarchy. This is part of our identity. Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm really not that cool. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme, there's like super cool prom king, prom queen crowd that have parties that I don't even know people that attend because there's so many different stratuses between me and them that I can't even talk to the people who were invited to the party, let alone get an invitation myself, you know what I mean? So on down the rim, you know, and I'm just like the middle guy. But there are definitely people below me. There are some people that, like, have wood shop 6 periods a day. I know. God be with you. If you have six periods of wood shop, I pray for you now. If you have 6 periods of wood shop, you've earned it. If you have it, you know, twice, okay. But 6, I don't. You could take, I took wood shop. I love wood shop. You just don't need 6 periods of wood shop. Like 4 periods of wood shop and 2 periods of wood shop TA. No, that's not okay. So some of you identify with your social status. It's about where you fit in the ladder. And some of you, it's about personality. It's about your personality. I'm really funny. I'm really gregarious. I'm really outgoing. I'm really whatever, fill in the blank. For some of you, it's about grades. Like, I identify myself with the grades I get. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be good grades, just so we're clear, right? I met plenty of kids. Hi, I'm John. Yeah, I have a 1.2 GPA. Beat that. Like, have you lost your... Never mind. So, people identify themselves with all kinds of goofy stuff. They do, and I don't always understand it. In fact, a lot of times I don't understand it. But let me list off some of the things that we ought to identify ourselves with. Okay? Sometimes, we ought to be identified with our pasts. Some of us have made good decisions. Some of us have built for ourselves a platform where we have influence among our friends, because we make good decisions. And there's some pride in that because God has blessed us. The Lord said, if I give you something little and you do good with it, then I'll give you something bigger. Right? And some of us have pasts that we don't want to be associated with. Some of us have pasts that are wicked and wrong. And some of us have pasts that we made the decision, and some of us have pasts that somebody else took the decisions away from us. There are people in this room, I guarantee you, there are people in this room that have been abused physically, mentally, sexually. And that's not your decision. And that's not your identity. And a lot of people, I'm just telling you, I meet them all the time. Hi, my name is Sally, and my identity is rape. And that's how they think of themselves. Hi, my name is Billy, and my identity is cowering from my dad because when he gets home, he gets drunk, and when he gets drunk, he beats me. There are a lot of people, that's their identity. That's their world. And I'm here to say, if you have that experience in your own self, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. That isn't even a choice you had. That's a choice someone took away from you. Some of us should not identify ourselves with our past. That's not who we are. Some of us, when we look back, all we see is our sins. All we see are the terrible decisions that we've made along the way. And there's that sense that no matter what we do, we can't get the thing right again. That's not your identity. That's one of the beautiful things about Jesus Christ. As he said, if you choose to follow me, I will make you a new creation. All things are new again. The old has gone and the new will come. Some of us, that needs to be our identity. I can be new in Christ Jesus. Some of us need to be identified with our thoughts, our dreams, and our hopes. You see, when you meet people on the street and you go up to them and you say, hey, tell me something about you. Nobody says, well, when I was a kid, I had this dream. I wanted to wash dishes at the Live Oak. What? That's your dream? Nobody says that. That's not a dream. I want to wash dishes at the Live Oak. No. People have dreams. Maybe your dream was to be a professional performer. Maybe you wanted to be a dancer or a singer or a baseball player. Maybe you wanted to do something huge. That's where you can begin to identify who you are. Start looking for the answer to the question there. So let me ask you the question again. Who are you? It's not your name. It's not your family. It's not how much money you have. It's not your siblings. It's not what they've done. It's not what somebody else did to you. Who are you? I believe that we all want to answer the question with the greatness that God's put in us. I really believe God's put greatness in each of us. We're unique and we have different kinds of greatness. But we want to answer the question with the greatness that's within us. Who are you? Something great. Something amazing. Something worthy. Something that's significant in this world. Not what kind of shoes we wear. Not who we hang out with. We want to identify ourselves with something amazing. That's what I believe. So Patrick, quit it. As I thought about this stuff, I determined this in my own mind. I determined that, I'm going to read this so I don't mess it up. Our identity determines our trajectory. Think about that for a minute. Our identity determines our trajectory. So trajectory is the angle at which something is flying. So if you're in math class, everybody say, oh, here we go. I can't believe it. There's negative trajectory and positive trajectory. Negative trajectory means something flying toward the ground. Positive, something flying away from the ground. Okay, simple. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. So let me say this again. Your identity determines your trajectory. Who you believe you are determines who you will become. So I'm going to ask you another question, and it's meant to be gender specific. I mean, gender neutral, but it's gender specific because of the way I ask it. Okay, ready? I used to ask this to my students all the time. Would the boy you were be proud of the man you become? Would the girl you used to be proud of the woman you turn into? It's part of understanding your identity. It's part of getting a grasp of your identity. And here's what I believe. I believe that we all have in us something great, and we all want to unlock it. We all want to reach it. We all want to be something great. And if you're in that place in your life where you don't believe you can be something great, it's because somebody has beaten that out of you, not because it didn't exist. And let me say this. God has a plan for you. God has goals for you. God has a design for your life. And He wants you to be something great. Something great, not something mediocre. Not something that's just okay. Not something that's just a wandering through life aimlessly, hoping that you have more fun than you do misery. That is not life. So I'm going to ask you the question for my own self. And then we're going to look to the scripture to see how we should answer the question for all of us. When people ask me, who am I? I am a Christian. Part number one, I love Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I do not deny Him. I do not excuse Him. I do not dance around Him. Except for when I'm worshiping, and that's a different thing. I am a Christian, part one. That is who I am. It's my identity. Part two, I am a husband. I am in love with my wife. She is amazing. And that's part of who I am. That's ingrained in the fabric of who I am. We've been together, we've been married for 16 years, and we've been together for 19, something like that. We're coming up on 20 years of knowing each other. So that's part of who I am. Number three, I am a father. I've got three children. I love them dearly. I love you guys, but I love them more. I'm just saying. I love them more. I appreciate that. So those are the first three things I would say about myself. And then, after I've identified those three things, then I'll tell you who I am out of the things that I love, out of the passions in my life. And I love doing this job. The job does not define me. I am not a pastor because I need an income. If I needed an income, I would work at Microsoft. I am a pastor because I love people, specifically you guys. So pastor is not, see, I was having a conversation with some other people. There are jobs. I work at Dairy Queen. That's a job. okay? There are careers, okay? I work in internet technology, or I'm a graphic designer, or I'm an architect, or I'm a doctor. There are careers. A career is clearly greater than a job. And then there are select few who have a rare opportunity to do what they love. And that's me. It's not a job. It's not a career. It's passion. It's love. And only the select few have an opportunity to do what they love. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. That's not the part about the job that I'd love. So I want you guys to get your heads wrapped around that, if you will. The depths of who I am, it's not about what I do. It's about the passion I do. I live with passion. I love with passion. This is my life. This is who I am. So here's a great question. How do you guys identify yourselves? I'm going to give you guys a real brief overview of what Jesus said about it. Okay, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Grab your iPhone and use your Bible app. Or your Android. Use your Bible app. Or just a Bible would work. Matthew chapter 5. We have some Bibles in the back. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5. This is, you guys are going to be crazy. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount called the Beatitudes. And this is what Jesus has to say. This is what Jesus says. Because, by the way, if you have a great question and you want to know a great answer, ask a great person. His name is Jesus. But I'll point you to Jesus. This is what Jesus says. This is how you can figure out. If you want a great trajectory, this is how to do it. Here we go. Start in verse 3. Yeah, we'll start in verse 3. These are called the Beatitudes. Start in verse 3. It says this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, Joanna, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, what the heck does that have to do with your identity? Let me answer the question. I have about 5 minutes and then we'll have to pick this up next week. This is going to be continued. Here's what I believe. I believe that God has already put an identity within you. Each of you already have who you are. It just needs to continue to be developed and refined. So everybody look up here. When you have a fantastic horse, it's a young horse. You don't know anything about young horses, right? It's a young horse and it's a fantastic horse, and you're going to develop this young horse into a trained thoroughbred who races. And that's your intent. Okay? Well. Who races well. Who wins? Races. Like Seabiscuit. Okay, so look. Look up here. Look at my face. When the horse is just hanging out, it can either be in the barn, right? Nod your heads if you understand what a barn is. Good. Or it can just be out in the field, but what is there that goes around the field? A fence. In order for the horse to figure out who he is, he has to live within the rules and the confines. The horse has to hang out with the trainer and live inside the fence. This, my friends, is the fence. This is the fence that Jesus put up for us. This is not to hinder us. It's not a set of rules. It's not a set of check marks. We have to go down and say, I did this one, and I did this one, and I did this one, and I did this one, so I guess God loves me today. That's not what this is. Because God's not going to love you more if you obey the rules. God doesn't believe in rules. Rules just get in our way. But he does believe in a fence. And the fence is great and vast and wide, and it gives us plenty of room to run and explore and find out how this thing works. And that's how we begin to discover our identity. Who we are is found in Jesus Christ. And that greatness that's within us is only unlocked when we live inside the fence. And this, my friends, is the fence. And so we're going to explain and explore what Jesus means. And I'll just give you a taste. Blessed are the poor in spirit means when we recognize that we can't buy our way into heaven, we're poor in spirit. When we begin to recognize these kinds of things, we begin to understand who we are and who we are not. I'm so excited for this, you guys. I can't even tell you. I'm so excited about this. Next week, we're going to go into the extended bit about this and about how this relates to our identity and how these things come together and how this stuff fits together, because Jesus has a master plan for your life. And he really has a design for you and a desire for you not to be average, not to be good, but to be spectacular. And I know that you guys have a desire to be spectacular too. It's already written on your hearts. That's your desire. You just need some help to figure out how to make it happen. So we're going to be talking about that next week. Pretty excited about it. Pretty excited about it. I am excited. Because the opposite is not healthy inside the church. So next week, your identity. I want you guys, I never give homework. I don't give homework, so this isn't homework. But my hope is that between now and then, you begin to think about this, Erica. Answer the question, who am I? I don't want you to say it. If you want to write it, I promise there will be fruit in that. If you begin to try to write out the answer to this question, who am I? Who am I? But it's not homework. You don't have to do it. I'm not going to grade it next week. There's no test coming. But I just want you to think about, answer the question, who am I? I'm going to ask you again next week, who are you? Who are you? We're going to pray. We're going to dismiss. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you give the definition to life. You give the definition to love. You give the definition to fulfillment. You are the definer of the great promises. And you have given us life. I thank you, Lord, that our identity is only complete and fulfilled when we're following after you, when we're trusting you with our lives and our decisions and our hopes and our dreams, and when we live inside this world that you have created for us, putting you first, with an understanding that the fences you created are not to prevent us, but to help us. You refine us and you make us more like you as we trust you more and more. So I pray, help these young people to begin to understand the answer to the question, who am I? Give them a desire to know the answer to that. We give you the glory for it all. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen, 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 amen. I love you guys. Please, bring your friends back. We're going to keep having fun. We're going to keep doing cool stuff. We're going to keep giving things away. We're going to keep, I don't know, maybe next week we can... we can try to throw somebody through the air or something fun like that. So anyway, I love you. Have a good week. Go with God. I'll see you later.